Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, and I'm going to tell you what episode it is here in a second because my computer froze. Okay, it's Monday,
186.
July 18th, episode 186, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's a Monday.
There's something wrong with us, something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday.
Time to ride, it's time to ride, ooh yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Jamie.
Hello, Glenn. How are you this fine Monday morning?
All right. Well, I saw some pictures, so I think we're going to have a lot to talk about from your weekend and ours, actually.
Yeah, I guess it was exciting for both of us. I did my first horse trial on my rescue horse, Jet, and I'm here to talk about it Monday morning. So that is a better start than I thought I was going to get. And you guys got to go to Briarfest.
Yeah, we went to Briarfest, and we got to go to another event at Keeneland and met some cool people over there. So I did post a video of me and the and Trish Lynn and the All-American Cowgirl Chicks. I posted that on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, so you can stop by there and see everybody, see all the Cowgirl Chicks there. So we'll talk more about that later in the show. But first, let's find out from Jennifer what guests we have coming up today.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, it's all about the weekend. We have weekend competition results, we have weekend drama, we have weekend horses trapped in pool stories, we have weekend historical trivia, and it just goes on and on about the weekend. And just to add a little variety, it's going to be Mandy Woodrick here with her favorite online picks, so that next weekend when it's pouring down rain in your neighborhood, you have something to do.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. All right, Jamie, everybody's dying, and now you had a bunch of listeners posting on your Facebook page over the weekend about how you were doing, and Jennifer and I were worried about you all weekend, wondering if your .2 air vest was put into use, and if you survived, and then, you know, I texted you on Friday to find out how you did in dressage, and all you did was send me a picture.
Yeah, that was the picture of the scorecard once the results had been posted with me. In absolute, as far down, dead last as you can get. Like, if you looked at a scorecard, you know, there's like some 20s and or some like maybe 28, 29, 30. And there's me all the way down at the bottom with a 46.2. So the way that dressage is scored, for those who don't know, is each one of your movements is graded out of, like, zero is not performed and 10 is perfect. Well, we got, like, maybe a 7, and that was as we entered the arena, and it just went downhill from there. It's like I think I fooled her when I entered the arena. I'm like, she must not have seen my warm-up. So I'll tell you about dressage first, and it was just the dressage is on a racetrack at the Coconino Horse Trials. And remember, Glenn, we were talking about, you know, hopefully somebody doesn't play the call to the post on the ringtone?
Yes.
Well, Coconino County Fairgrounds is actually part of Luke Air Force Base's Fort Tuthill. And my dressage test was at 8:30 in the morning. And, of course, I needed a lot of warm-up. So at about, you know, 5 to 8, I start heading down. And as we crest into the view of the racetrack, at 8 a.m. every freaking morning, they play Reveille because it's a bass. And if you don't know what Reveille, it sounds to a horse an awful lot like the call to
the Pope. It's a trumpet.
It's a trumpet. So here comes do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Of course, he just erupts. I mean, it was like that was all he needed for an excuse. He tried not to go. He must have had a terrible racetrack experience because he was in no hurry to get down there. He was spinning. He was bolting. He was bucking. But I finally got him down there and then put him on a circle and started, you know, doing some stuff and getting circles done and everything like that. And just keep him in a circle and canter him for about half an hour. That's pretty much what it was. And he finally started, I mean, you know, there's a woman that comes up and she has to stick her finger in your horse's mouth to check the bit to make sure you don't have an illegal bit. Well,
right,
she almost
right.
died. We almost killed her.
You were that girl. You were that girl over the weekend.
I was totally that guy. I had peppermints in my pocket. I had to throw a peppermint at her and just be like, give it to him as I'm going by. We almost killed the bit check lady. We go in for the dressage test, and it was just a disaster. I mean, just an absolute disaster. So before we get to our daily winnies, I wanted to just kind of read some of the comments because in a dressage test, they have a scorecard that they then give you afterwards because it's supposed to be, especially at a beginner novice level, a learning and encouraging thing. Okay, you're supposed to, you know, take this piece of paper and read it and be, you know, scolded but encouraged. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. Yes,
and
sometimes the comments are diplomatically correct, and sometimes the comments are not diplomatically correct.
Well, we're gonna get to that, Glenn, because I got something on this dressage test that I have never gotten on any dressage test ever again. So, you know, like I said, we enter the arena and we get a 7. She says fairly straight, and then next movements were like 6, 6, 6, 6, 4, 3, 3, 4, 4.
Three.
And just went down. I got a 3 and it was multiplied by 2. So I got 2 threes on this test.
Oh,
which
threes.
On the other side, 3 means fairly bad. Okay. So here's the comments on next to each movement. Fairly straight. Oh, a lot hurried. Hurried, not straight. Not round. Jogs. Oh, this is in the free walk when you're supposed to drop the reins to your horse. He bolted. So that's where we got the 3. We're supposed to walk calmly, and they're supposed to stretch their nose down. And I slid the reins to him nice and gently, and he tried to run. So that was our 3s. Not accurate. Circle too small. Early. Circle not round. Not always straight. Circle too small. And then the ask for the right lead canter. Which was I put my outside leg back, ask him to canter, and he leaps into the air, farts as loud as he can, and then starts bucking. And my coach, bless her heart, I'm going to get to her in just a second, all she wanted me to do, she said, just my goals for dressage were stay in and stay on, stay in and on. And at that point, I was like, oh, my God, I'm not even going to stay on in my dressage test. So I get back on, and I'm kind of like seat myself, and I'm like, okay, I'm on. And we continue cantering the right lead, and then he tries to jump out of the arena. So I'm like, okay, I'm almost about not in and not on. But I got that outside rein tight, and I pulled him to the right, and we kept cantering. My score next to that was very, all capital letters, underlined, disobedient. lacking bend, crooked halt, not
lacking
straight.
Lacking bend. Lacking bend, like we're even worried about that at this point.
Exactly. I'm like, you're getting awful picky.
Yeah.
Just trying to trot a circle here. So this is at the bottom, of course, they do the overall marks, and they tell you generally overall exactly how they felt about you. And they score you on his gaits, how his impulsion was, how his submission was, and how the rider's position and correctness and effectiveness of aids were. So on the gates, he got a 6. desire to move forward, which you would think he would get a 10 because he tried to bolt. He got a 6. Confidence and attention, he got a 5. And then correctness and effectiveness of the 8, I got a 6, which, again, 6 means just satisfactory. Enough to stay on, I guess. And then the marks next to that, which I really had no idea that, you know, being a dressage test is supposed to be, you know, encouraging. Your horse is a bully. Your horse is a bully. That is what she writes on my test. Not like, you know, you had some good movement, but all in all, you need to work. I think it's incredibly rude, Jennifer. What do you think when you get somebody to rate your horse is a bully? First of all, he is a green rescue horse. It's his first time. He's in a baby division. How dare you write that on my dressage test?
I think rude might not have been the term I would have used. Maybe that he's got a strong personality that needs some work might have been a better way to put it. That's
yes.
Wow.
Thank you. I'm like, that's awful mean. And she also wrote underneath, your horse is a bully. She also wrote inattentive and tense. Yes, I know those things. But I just brought a horse that had been abused on the racetrack and off the racetrack and had this horrible life down to a racetrack to be nice and supple and calm and quiet. And it just wasn't going to happen. It was not possible. I was lucky to be alive at the end of that dressage test. So that's phase one of my weekend. That happened Friday after the show. And,
yeah. You know what? I might have put it there at the bottom of that one. Good of you to persevere.
Yes. Well ridden. You know, like, way to stick on when he bucks. And
yeah.
I came out of the arena, and my trainer goes, what were your goals? I said, stay in, stay on. She goes, and I didn't know that your horse's half lip is on. I'm like, thanks. Yeah, I didn't either.
I think this is for Jet.
Oh, God.
There you go.
That is what he heard. That is what
he
heard.
Poor guy. I mean, he was probably in total meltdown mode.
My coach Barb said that he just looked scared to death. And, you know, I got to give him credit because, seriously, he was really – I was really asking a lot of him to do that. So I don't mind. You know, he'll just get better, and he'll – the greenness will go away eventually. Like you said, Glenn, only 4 or 5 more horse trials to go until he's actually behaved himself.
That's right. Well, you know, and everybody goes through this that have, you know, gets them off the racetrack and does this. Everybody goes through this. We went through it with horses. It's not like it's unique, you know. It's just, it depends on the degree of how rude they are and disobedient. And what was the other word?
Bully. He was a bully. He was disobedient. He was inattentive and tense. Hey, thanks. Glenn just posted on our page, have you ever thought of entering him into a rodeo? Thank you very much, Glenn. Not so much.
It wasn't me either. That was one of our listeners.
I know. Glenn Forrester. Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate
I want to hear about Cross Country Day, because I really want to hear if you got to try out the new .2 air vest. But let's do that right after our Daily Winnie. My first Daily Winnie goes out to Anne from Sweden, who, remember last week we were talking about the fact that she was sending us gifts? Well, you'll see a picture there of me wearing one of the gifts. Go take a look at it, Jamie.
I got my gift.
And it's a T-shirt that says my horse isn't fat. He's just big boned with a picture of the big fat horse. So I think she listens to the show, and she knows she can relate to me. She understands me and my apprehension into making him wear that muzzle all the time. Because he just picked
him. That's very cool. What a great shirt. It's perfect. You nailed him. You nailed him.
You're supposed to get one, too. Did you get yours yet?
No, but I haven't really gone into the mailbox yet since I've been home.
Right. Well, I think that I can't wait to see what yours says. It's probably going to be something about rudeness, I would think.
You're such a bully.
My second one goes out to David Hellmuth of Paradise Farm in Greensboro, Georgia. Do you know where that is?
I don't.
Okay.
That means it's in the sticks.
Okay. Well, he is the one that runs the Wells Fargo Stagecoaches, and we got to meet up with him over the weekend and got a tour of the trailers and all that stuff. We're going to tell you about that in the last half of the show coming up. And here is yours.
My first one does go out to Barb Cravo, who sat with me, babysitting me through the entire weekend, even when I, before cross country, wanted to scratch my horse, and I was in tears. And I'm like, this is terrible. I don't want to do this. And she goes, go jump that jump right now and go to the start box. So she really actually helped me persevere through the weekend. And she is currently on her way to Rebecca Farms in Montana. So she was unable to join us on the show today. But she's going to go up there and do the 3-star with her horse. And we wish her the best of luck. And again, thanks for not embarrassing me, because if I would have been scratched from this competition, I'd have never heard the end of it from Glenn. So thanks to her. One more. The next one goes to my dear friend and student, Rebecca Klopping, who came up, drove all the way to Flagstaff to see my cross-country ride, and brought her camera and was taking pictures, and did not post any of the photos on our Facebook page where I look like I'm about to cry. She did not post any of the ones of me in utter panic. She did not post any of the ones of me scared to death or wiping away tears. She just posted the good ones. So I do appreciate that, and I do apologize for the first half of our cross-country day that you had to witness. So I'll go ahead and tell you about it, Glenn.
Yeah, by the way, you can see some of those pictures on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. She posted them there as well. She posted one that said it was her favorite picture of the two of you walking away, you know, both your butts. And I got to say, that's a great picture. It really is a good picture.
I just hosed him off and was walking him around.
By the way, that's a happy picture. It doesn't look like you had any problems over the weekend. That's such a happy picture.
Well, see, that's what eventing is, Glenn. It only takes one bright moment to make your entire weekend. But on the way down to cross country, you know, I've got my Charles Owen vest on. I've got my .2 vest on. I'm buckled in. I'm strapped in. I've got my big Charles Owen helmet. I'm like ready to go. I am geared to the hilt. I've got my Southern Star event saddle on. I'm like Ariat boots. I am geared up. We have done some major shopping for this event, and I am ready. I have everything I need. We're heading down the cross country. We have to walk down this road. It's about a 15, 20-minute walk. My friend Teresa is also with me, and her husband Alex are in the car, and they're driving down the road, and they see me in the woods having some problems. And so Teresa actually my horse decided he did not want to go. He was not going to go down there to the cross-country course. Apparently, the dressage thing really messed with his head, and he wanted no part of it. And he was rearing. He was spinning. He was bucking. He was trying to bolt. He was doing anything he could to not go down to the warm-up area where the cross-country was taking place. I ended up, Teresa tried to get out and lead him. He was like the bit check girl. He tried to kill her. So I said, just leave him alone. I'll get him down there. We were weaving in and out of trees, doing circles. I'm kicking him. You know, he's bucking. It was a nightmare. I get down there. I can't even get him all the way to the warm-up, but I can see the warm-up. So I just start trotting him in circles around the trees. And my coach is like, just work your way down here to the warm-up. So I'm trotting around trees. I am almost in tears. He is being so bad. Glenn, I mean, I was scared to death. And I was like, this is stupid. I'm going to scratch. And my friend Teresa is an eventer, and she's like, that's probably a good idea. I mean, that's how bad he was. We finally get him all the way down the warm-up, and I'm like, I can't do this, Barb. I can't do this. I'm stressed out. He's going to kill me. She goes, go jump that jump right now and shut up. I'm like,
shut up and ride, like Smokey says.
But I'm like, but don't you? She's like, he's fine. Go jump that jump. So she's just like, she's just so calming, and she's very authoritative, and so you just do what she says. And of course, we jump this little cross rail like it's a 9-foot vertical, and he's in a puissance. Like, I mean, he jumps this thing sky high. Everybody's like, when you're making a scene in the warm up at beginner novice horse, okay, you know you're bad because everybody else is having problems too.
You were that girl. You're that girl all weekend.
I was totally that girl. So fortunately, we got down there about 35, 40 minutes early, and my horse, we decided he is like a shark, and he doesn't stop. If he stops, he dies. Like, he'll drown. So we had to just keep moving. And by the time we actually got him to his starting time, he was exhausted, which was perfect. So we're circling the start box. You know, he'd never been to one, and they have one of the back doors on it, so I just walked him through it. I jigged him through it. He jigged the entire time. And we go to start, and they're 3, 2, 1, have a nice ride. And I turned him around, and I trotted him out of the start box, and we went to the first jump. And dear God, you would have thought this horse had been running Rolex his entire life. Not one thing spooked him. He jumped every fence possible. He was a cross-country machine, Glenn. We're talking uphill, downhill, ditches. He went into the water. He was, like, spot on the entire time. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it.
Are you kidding me? I'm getting goosebumps, too. Are you kidding me?
Glenn, he was perfect. Absolutely perfect.
I was not expecting that.
No. I wasn't either. I thought I was going to die. We took him out there. We had a little plan to kind of play in the water a little bit before we went through the flags to go into the water. And so we did that, and he went right in. I took him around to the water. So we kind of schooled it at the same time because I was in last place. It didn't matter, right? No big deal. So I take him in the water. We go play around. We gallop, jump through the woods, up the hills, down the hills. He jumps the ditch like nothing. I mean, this horse was perfect. He was better than my warm blood has ever been on cross country. And we've done a lot of cross country. This horse was amazing. Hit every stride, listened to every cue, slowed down, sped up, never bolted, only went when I pressed him, came back when I asked him to slow down. He was amazing. We finished with zero jumping faults and 1.2 time faults because I played in the water a little bit. That's how fast he was, too. It was amazing, amazing, amazing. And then I loved him again. I wanted to shoot him. Now I love him. So,
my God, that is not what I was expecting. We have not talked about this. I didn't know how cross-country went. That's really not what I was expecting at all.
It was amazing. It was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, to the point where the warm-up is going to be the same. I might do one more beginner novice, then we're moving him up. Because the jumps don't bother him at all. It was not the jumps. It was the dressage on the racetrack and then the warm-up. He hates the warm-up, and my coach said he'll probably always be bad in the warm-up, and he's just going to have to deal with it. And it was great. And then show jumping, same deal. I get down there. He was better but still very stressed in the warm-up. I took him in there. The horse has never seen any of these jumps, has never seen colorful jumps at all, has never done anything with clearing these fences, doing flying lead changes in the corners. It was like jump, turn, gallop, jump, turn, gallop, jump, turn, through the combinations. Amazing. I would like you to know that I finished the day in 8th place because of the way my horse jumped. I moved up.
Congratulations.
From last
That's
place
good.
All the way. Amazing. However, the ceremony of the presentation of awards was now to come. And I'd been walking around and waiting, and I knew that I was going to get a ribbon. So I'm waiting. And then comes everybody brings their horse into the arena where they then give you your ribbon, and then you do a victory gallop around the arena. And I was going to have no part of that. I mean, no way I'm galloping this horse in, because they only give ribbons to 8th place. So I would have been the last person in the victory gallop. But by the time I would have gotten a quarter of the way through, I'd have been the first person in the victory gallop. So I didn't want to steal the thunder or kill myself. So I did not do that, although my coach was really hoping that I would, because that would have been, she said it would have been funny for everybody involved except for me, to do the victory gallop. And I would like you to know that.
It'd have been the entertainment.
Exactly. I said, Barb, aren't you, haven't you had enough entertainment from me for the weekend? Like, seriously, can we just let this go? She's like, go get out of here. So, and then they go to hand me the ribbon, and she goes to put it on his bridle, and he about, you know, like the bit check girl and like Rebecca and like my friend Therese, he about killed her. So I said, why don't you just keep that and I'll get it later?
I didn't know the games are 8th place. I thought it was 6th place.
It's a very beautiful shade of brown.
Oh, you get brown in 8th place?
Yeah. It matches
but
everything
black
else
in
the
7th place, or, you know.
The 7th place is purple. So 8th place is. And the coolest thing was that I was on a Chronicle of the Horse adult rider team. And
yep.
My adult rider team.
Oh, I bet you they were so happy to have you as part of the team, too.
You know, when I signed up for it, I told them, I said, listen, I don't know if you guys want me on your team because I'm planning on trying to finish. Like, when I say trying, I mean trying. Now, fortunately, the worst score gets dropped. So I figured if anything, that my score would at least be, you know, wiped out in the three spaces. There's 4 riders on the team, and they take the top 3 scores. So I said, you guys, we're counting on y'all because my score is going to be dropped, but I'll have you know that my score counted. And we still came in 2nd place for the Chronicle of the Horse adult rider team, and I got that big, giant red neck ribbon, and I got like a bridle bag. And I asked this woman, Angela Carmichael, she was on my team, I said, after we were done, I said, does your back hurt? And she's like, not really. Why? I'm like, because you've been carrying the rest of us the whole entire weekend. Like, thank you for doing that. Would you like me to shine your boots? And she finished on like a 28. She's an awesome rider. So it was really fun. And it was an awesome weekend. Very exciting. And thank you for
well, you had a it was certainly a roller coaster, wasn't it? The ups and the downs.
That's what eventing is. And if my horse had been bad on cross country, I probably would not be sitting here going, okay, oh my God, I'm totally going to enter one in October. And that's when it's Noida. And then September is another one in Coconino. And then there's one in California in November. So I'm going to go do all of those.
We'll work on dressage a bit. Maybe he should just be a jumper. Have you thought about that?
But I don't do jumpers, Glenn. I do eventing. And so
yeah, there's that little problem.
Yeah, he's going to have to get through the dressage to do the cross country. And you know what? That is very much how eventers feel. Get through the dressage so we can hit the cross country course. but it was exciting. I really feel like I rode well and I have coached very well. And I thank everybody for being on my Facebook page asking how it was going. I do appreciate it.
Well, we certainly were worried about you, you know, me for a selfish reason, because I didn't want to be talking to myself all morning. No, I'm just kidding. No, we were worried about you, and I'm very excited. Well, you know, we were talking about going out to your place in the fall. Maybe we'll have to coordinate it with one of your big shows and come watch and put added pressure on.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, right? No, I didn't want to talk about this beforehand because, you know, you never know what would happen. But I'm going to have to write a story about this horse because he has just had such an incredibly tumultuous life. And to have him finish, I must tell you that yesterday when I finished my show jumping and I came out of the arena, you know, looking at this horse that has only been under saddle with me for 6 months and was almost dead and was, you know, in jail and was starved and all this horrible story, I burst into tears because I never thought that I would get to the point where this horse of mine, who we have been through so much together, this horse of mine would ever finish a horse trial. And to do it in the form and fashion that he did with no cross-country penalties, I mean, he just amazing. It made me cry a little bit too much. I'm goosebumps right now. It was so good.
Well, I got to tell you the pictures. I'm looking at the pictures from Rebecca here, and he is a good-looking horse. He looks like an eventer. He has the, you know, that lanky eventer look. And his face, you know, with his blaze, with the chrome he's got, he's very sassy looking. You got him looking really good.
He's very pretty. You know, I got to say, though, he is, because he was starved, he has some issues with his metabolism. And he moved around so much and just would not stand still. I mean, even, you know, he would go back to his stall and go to sleep, but anytime he was out, he was just like moving, trotting, cantering, walking, whatever, that he has lost so much weight that I can see every rib all the way back to, like, the last one, which is almost near the pelvis. So that's how skinny and gaunt he got just from this weekend. So I'll just tell you that Jeff has earned a much-needed week off where he will just be eating nonstop, trying to make him look like I don't have, like, some rescue case in my backyard.
So you're the opposite of my shirt that I'm wearing right now.
Yes.
You're kind of the opposite. He's not big bone, no.
No,
well, you know, that's not unusual either for them to lose weight like that, especially when they're stressing it off like he was.
Yeah.
But congratulations.
I mean,
I'm proud of you.
Thank you very much. It was very well earned, and my husband was with me the whole time, and he was just awesome. He was fantastic, and I felt very lucky because I had some really good people around me, and I was part of a team, and it was just really cool, and I'm here to tell you about it Monday morning, so that's really good.
That's good. I was glad to hear that, too. Well, congratulations. This half hour, this show, actually, is sponsored. Jamie's story is sponsored by Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals.
By the way, I would like for you to know that we did give several different Omega Alpha products during the show, one of which was the Equine Chill, and by the last day it worked. The first two,
so now you know you have to start 3 days ahead.
Exactly. It says give it an hour, but you know what? He's going to need – I'm going to have to double the dosage for the Equine Chill next time. But the GastroFX was phenomenal. He got that all weekend long just to keep his tummy from all the stress, just to keep it happy, and he feels great. So no signs of the ulcers that he's had before. So we're good.
Well, that's the cool thing about Omega Alpha is they have all natural products. All their ingredients are natural. They're herbal. Dr. Chang, you know, incorporates some of the traditional Chinese medicine. You know, when my new co-host on the Driving Radio Show, Dr. Wendy Ying, is a veterinarian and also practices traditional Chinese medicine. And when she looked at Omega Alpha and looked at the ingredients, she said, "I prescribe almost the same things. I make my own, but they're practically the same things." And you know, so she was looking at them going, wow, these are some good products. And they have dozens of products. You just mentioned two of them there, you know, but they have dozens of products for energy and immunity and muscles and respiratory and vitamins and minerals. They really cover the gambit, and you know you're going to get all natural products. They bring consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science. And I wish they had one that would help me speak during the morning radio show. They specialize in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by Omega Alpha using the finest natural ingredients available. And, you know, their standards are actually tougher. These are made in Canada. They're actually tougher in Canada for vitamins and pharmaceutical products, the health products like this. So, you know, you're getting the best of the best.
I got to change my theory there because listening to you, I realized that, you know, like the stuff that I use for the dog, all of this stuff really works. So I would like to thank Omega Alpha for making the Equine Chill, because without it, I might be dead. So if
that's
been chilled out, then you never know what we might have had before, you know. So the Equine Chill, the GastroFX, all that was fantastic. Thank you very much for providing medication it's not illegal, you know. It's not illegal. It's all natural.
Well, you know what?
And,
you know what? I need to call them and say now they can add to the Equine Chill label, save lives.
Yeah. Put that on there, buddy. Save lives.
Look for their products at retailers nationwide and visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. And we thank you for your continued support there, Dr. Chang, and we thank everybody up there. And also for keeping Jamie alive. We appreciate that, too. And by the way, Liam has chimed in. Karen has chimed in and giving you some well done. Aubrey said, and we're going to go to our guest right after I read this. Aubrey wrote, who listens every day, "Oh, poor Jamie, I feel your pain. My favorite one of mine was a little exuberant talking about the dressage comment when she bolted during a stretchy trot, then reared and smacked me in the face with her head when I picked up the reins to stop her. We get a lot of tactful ride on a distracted horse. So I guess there's a silver lining. Yeah, you didn't get smacked in the face.
Oh, my gosh. I can totally see that happening, too. They bolt, and then you grab the reins real quick. They put their head up real quick, and then, yeah, smack you in the face. I did the second half of my ride was wearing a running Martingale Aubrey because my horse also does the head tossing. I just got lucky enough to not get hit with it. But thank you very much.
All right, let's get to our first guest, who I'm sure is chuckling because she has ridden and probably been smacked in the face herself. And that's Mandy Widrick. She's here every couple of weeks with Mandy's Picks. She brings us the tech side of the horse world. You know, if you're listening to this show, you're into tech or you wouldn't be hearing it. So that's why we do these updates. Good morning, Mandy.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you doing today?
Okay. You've never ridden a horse and gotten smacked in the face or any of that, have you?
I've been smacked in the face. My horse hasn't reared, but she tripped over something once and she went down a bit and I went down and first thing I hit was her neck when we went down.
Yeah.
She didn't actually fall, but she tripped and went down to her knees, and then she got back up. But I remember hitting my teeth really hard, and it didn't feel good.
No, never does. Never does. The horse always wins that one.
Yeah.
Your nose and teeth always lose. All right. Let's talk about what you got. You have some picks for us today. Plus, at the end of your segment, I want to talk about you had the opportunity to use Google Plus. Now, I got an invitation. Now, we'll explain to everybody what Google Plus is. But I got an invitation, haven't been able to use it yet, and I got some concerns about it. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But first, we'll get to your picks. What do you got for us?
Well, we've got a couple of Facebook pages to look at today, and then we've got a website we're going to look at. So let's start off with the Facebook pages. We've got a couple here. The first one is Sadie's Hand-Painted Tech. And I'm highlighting this particular page because we did an interview on Horse Family, which is my online magazine, with Sadie's Hand-Painted Tech, and I'm just impressed by how much interaction she's got going on the page. She's a go-getter. She's been doing this fun little business. So what she does is she basically hand-paints tech. She does custom orders, and she creates these really cool designs for people who want to have their tech kind of spiced up a bit. So if you want to find her on Facebook, just type in Sadie's Hand-Painted Tech, and that's four individual words. And if you have any problem finding it via the search, you can go to facebook.com/horsefamily, and there should be links not too far down on the wall because we just posted the interview on Saturday. So we've got a little more information about them on our page, too.
Now, what kind of tech does she paint? What does she paint?
It looks like all kinds of tech. I see spur straps. I see halter, nose bands, bridles. There's a lot going on here. Let me pull up her website and see what else she does.
I'm actually looking here, too, and it looks like breastplates, and she paints all different kinds of stuff. I guess whatever you want on there, she can paint. There's, of course, the first one I come to is a nose piece for a halter that's painted with a skull and crossbones. So I don't know what that was about, but that was Jamie's horse.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like she does all kinds of different stuff here. I've never seen painted leather tack like this before.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I found it very interesting. In reading her interview that we did with her, one of my interns did the interview, and so I went through and read it, of course, before I posted, and it looks like it was a business that started out as just something she was doing for herself and for friends, and then when people saw it, they said, well, we want one too, and so it kind of picked up as a business, and it's always cool when you can do something for fun and then find that people want to pay you for it. So it kind of sounds like that's how it started for her.
Yeah, someday we'll get paid to do this, won't we, Jim? No, this is great. Okay, so that's Sadie's Hand-Painted Tack. Never heard of it. Cool.
Yes.
Jennifer's going to post links on our Facebook page to all of your picks for the day. So you can find
awesome.
It there. Just go to Horses in the Morning on Facebook, and you'll find the links there as well. All right, cool. What's the second one?
All right, the second one is called The Gentle Barn, and you can find it at facebook.com/thegentlebarn. And this page has over 100,000 people that have liked the page. And so whenever I see something in, you know, the egg community where people are doing something pretty big like this and they've got all of these fans, it definitely catches my attention. So I went in, I looked at it and checked it out, and it looks like they were actually featured on – the Ellen DeGeneres show a while back. I think it was last year. I was going through their YouTube videos, and so that would explain where a lot of
the 100,000 fans. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So what they have is a farm where they rescue and rehabilitate severely abused animals, and they also work with kids with these animals as well, and they place some of the animals, too, once they've been rehabilitated. And I watched the video on their Facebook page, so if you go to the YouTube box on the sidebar of the Facebook page, the top YouTube video is the interview that they did with Ellen DeGeneres. So you can kind of see how the farm all works and hear their story and whatnot. But I found it really interesting. You know, it's not too often that something like this gets featured on the Ellen show. So it was a really cool story that they had, and I was really impressed by how much they had going on at the farm.
Well, and it looks like they save horses and all different kinds of things. I see pictures of owls and goats and, you know, just all different kinds of things.
Oh, yeah, they've got all kinds of animals. I mean, I even see a picture of an owl at the top of their tagged photos at the top of the Facebook page. So
hey, there's a chicken on here, Jamie. By the way, Jamie, did you save your chicken that was terrorized by the mean coyote?
Well, let's just tell you that Ty Cobb is still outside walking around. She was saved, and she is doing
Yay.
A lot better. Not 100% yet, but doing a heck of a lot better. And she's not living in my kitchen anymore.
Well, maybe we can get you on Ellen DeGeneres.
No, that's not going to happen.
This is called The Gentle Barn. I had never heard of this one either.
It's very cool. I'm looking at their website as well. And the website design is just really clean, really impressive as well. So thegentlebarn.org, or actually it's gentlebarn.org is their website. But their Facebook page is really interactive, too. I'm just impressed. I mean, like, this most recent picture that's been posted on their Facebook page has 463 people that just liked the photo that just went up. And the other one has almost 1,400 people that liked the photo from Saturday. And this page is really interactive, and they just have so much going on about the animals. And so, you know, it's not just strictly horses, but most people that like horses like other animals, too.
Right,
so
right.
It's worth checking out.
Cool. This is great. Yeah, and when you get up to the 1,400 range of people that like one post and 269 comments, you're in rock star category there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Cool. That's great. Terrific.
All right. And
all right,
the website
cool.
we're looking at is, let me bring it up on my computer, it's equestriancoach.com. And this is something that I also had found through Facebook and navigated over to their website. And it looks like what they have going on is they've got, like, a membership website where you can pay they have training videos, so you can pay per video that you watch, or you can do a monthly subscription, or you can even pay for a year's membership. So there's a lot of different membership options. And what they have is a lot of different videos for different topics, like horsemanship, training techniques, riding instruction. They've got guest coaches. I am scrolling through their website here. So they've got a lot going on with the videos. I watched one of the previews of one of their videos the other day, and it looks like there's a lot of good information to offer here. I think it is a little bit more high-end. So for people who want to really get more into the trading and whatnot, it does look like it's not for just, I don't know. There's some basic, there's intermediate and advanced, but a lot of it does look like it's a little bit more advanced to me, but that's just my take from looking at the website real quick. So you guys can take a look at it and see what you think, too.
No,
yeah,
I'm looking at this.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Sorry. I'm just looking at this. When you say a little higher end, I'm looking at the coaches. And it's like Rodrigo Pessoa, Mike Plum, Gina Miles, Denny Emerson. These are all – Debbie McDonald. These are all world-class coaches that are on here doing videos for this website. I mean, how much does it cost, do you think?
Well, the prices are right up at the top, so it's $8.99 to watch one video, or you can pay $29.99 a month, which I don't think is that bad for a membership fee for about $30 a month. That's really not that expensive. So, you know, and then there's the annual option, which is $300 a year.
And I got a question for you guys, Jennifer, too. So first thing I see when I come here is I scroll down a little bit and I see a picture of George Morris, and it says George Morris and other great testimonials. Has there ever been a picture of George Morris taken where he's smiling? Ever? Just saying.
No, there's not been.
Oh, yeah. Wait, that's a pretty grim-looking picture he's got there. You know, I had heard of this one a while back, and I had not seen it for a long time, for probably 6 months. They really have filled it out a lot, and now it looks like there's a lot of great content on there.
Yeah, and I like their logo. Their logo is kind of cool, and it does look like it's really filled with great content. And I haven't paid for anything on the website, so I can't say that I've tried it out personally, but I did watch the previews of some of their videos the other day, and it does look like it's great content.
I wonder if you're allowed to submit your own video for them to look at.
Okay.
Good question.
Here's the problem is that I cannot actually get the search engine to work at all. I keep typing in coaches, and it says we have many lessons for you to choose from. Please select a lesson type to begin your search. And then I'm searching, and nothing comes up. It just flashes the same screen that was there before. So we'll see. See if they can get that working. Maybe I'm not doing it right. I don't know.
So we'll have to so they have a few kinks in equestriancoach.com. It doesn't say website building coach.com. It says equestriancoach.com. All right, good. Well, we'll post a link to that, and if you want to check that out, it's at equestriancoach.com. Well, that's the three great picks, Mandy.
Yeah. So I'm excited about talking about Google Plus because I've been trying it out for the past.
All right, let's tell everybody what it is first. It's sort of like Google's version of Facebook, right?
Pretty much. They're saying that Google Plus is going to basically kill Facebook, which I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I really don't think so, but that's the talk that's going around right now.
And it's by invitation only at this point. They were trying to limit the number of people who got into it so they could control the growth and get the bugs out. Problem was, even with the invitations, they ended up signing up 10 million have signed up in the first 2 weeks, Jamie, to this.
Wow.
So they kind of, they've been having a little bit of issues with servers and things. This is Google having issues with servers because they had more people sign up than they expected. So tell us about it. What makes it different? And but I got to tell you, I have mixed feelings about this from our side. Is we use Facebook on this show. It's sort of our outlet to post. Are we going to have to be posting two places now? What a pain in the neck having Facebook, even though they have their issues, Mandy, it at least is one spot where everybody is, and now you're going to divide that up, and it's going to become confusing and a problem. So your thoughts?
True. I do think that that's true. A lot of the techie people will catch on to Google Plus, and it won't be a big deal for them. But a lot of people are already on Facebook. I think that the more techie people are more apt to leave Facebook. I've been reading the stats, and I've been following Mashable on Google Plus and reading the comments that have been coming in on their profile. And so they've been asking a lot of questions like, how many of you have already deleted your Facebook account? And a lot of people actually have, surprisingly. But I don't think that's going to be the case with everybody. I have no intention of deleting my Facebook account or deactivating it or anything like that. I don't plan to leave Facebook. I've done a lot of networking on there. And I really don't think that in the horse community especially, which is where we're both at, I don't think that a lot of the horse people are going to migrate over to Google Plus right away because they're still catching on to Facebook and Twitter, and a lot of them haven't even migrated over to Twitter yet. So I really don't know that they're all necessarily going to jump on this Google Plus bandwagon. That's just my personal opinion about it. Now, Google Plus, I also don't feel like it's quite as easy to navigate and to learn as some of the other social media networks. Instead of having friends like you would on Facebook, you would add people to your circle instead. And you can break them up into different lists like you can on Facebook and Twitter. And so you can name your circles and put your friends in them. And so they're all categorized properly. But it's definitely not quite the same as the other social media networks. But the cool thing about Google Plus is that even if a bunch of people aren't migrating over there and deleting their Facebook and Twitter accounts, it ties in very well with your Gmail and your Google Calendar and your Google Docs. And so it's more of a workplace, a workspace rather, I guess, where people can kind of tie everything in as one with Google, which is kind of cool.
That's the one thing I did hear is that with the circles, you can get more granular that you can, you can decide who sees what posts. Is that correct?
Yes.
Like my work friends could see this post, my family could see this post, you can have an unlimited number of circles in your community, let's say.
I believe so. You know, I'm still learning Google Plus myself, and a lot of people have been asking me questions about it since I'm the social media girl. But it's something I'm still learning myself. I haven't even tried some of the features on there yet, and so I don't have a bunch of circles yet. I've got maybe, I don't know, five that I've been adding people to. And then you can have public posts as well, so anybody can see them on your Google profile. But the cool thing is that they also released a plus one button that you can add to your blogs. And so you know how people go into your website and they can hit the Facebook share button or they can hit the tweet button and then they can post that content to their social media networks. Google Plus has also released a button for their network as well. So all you have to do is hit the plus one button and it goes to your Google Plus feed automatically. So that's pretty cool.
I'm done. I've got enough going on with my Facebook and trying to read all your posts on Twitter. Glenn, if you make me get another thing and I have to download more stinking pictures and write another freaking profile, I do all that because I was sad to part with my MySpace account, okay? I fear change. I don't like it. I don't want any part of it. I don't even want to look at this Google thing. Don't send me. Glenn sends me emails all the time like, download this. You need this on your phone. You need this on your computer. Here's my Google Docs. You need a link to this. And I'm like, what? I don't even know what this crap is. So leave me alone. I don't want a Google Chrome, Facebook, whatever, MySpace thing. I've got my Facebook page. I know how to work it. Leave me alone, Glenn. I don't want to hear it.
Okay, I guess that answers that, doesn't it?
Google's got this cool feature that I have not even tried out yet called Google Hangout, and you supposedly can do video chat with multiple people at the same time, and it's free. So it's kind of like Skype group chat, but you don't pay anything. So I've yet to try that feature out, but that's definitely something that I've been hearing a lot of good things about, and people really like it. So I might be trying that out this upcoming week so we can kind of see how that all works. But that's something that the other social media networks definitely don't have, which could come in really handy for people who have staff that are working virtually so you can all video chat at the same time on Google, you know, and maybe save the Skype fees. I don't know how it compares to Skype because I haven't tried it yet, so, you know, maybe people will prefer Skype over this, but it's hard for me to say because I haven't tried it.
All right. Well, that's Google Plus. And, Mandy, we thank you so much for being on with us again today. You can go give your website out again.
It's horsefamilymagazine.com, and you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/horsefamily.
And if you have a business that's looking for some help in the social media world, Mandy does that as well, and you can contact her right through there. So thank you, Mandy. We appreciate you being on, and all of her pics have now been posted on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Thanks, Mandy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Glenn.
Bye-bye. Well,
yeah, exactly.
Tell us how you feel about that, Jamie.
She's messing with our life, okay, because we use Skype and Facebook for this radio show. I fear change. I can't learn new stuff, Glenn. I just can't. You know, the one thing that I did download that you did tell me to download that has been awesome is Pocket Stable. So, I mean, that's the only
way. Tell us
way
about Pocket Stable.
That's as far as I'm going to get, and they, of course, are now a sponsor of our show because we love them so much. How do you keep track of your horse's information, like farrier visits, shots, vaccines, dewormings? Do you have a box full of receipts, post-it notes, or do you keep it all this? Like, you don't even keep track. You're like, I think it was 6 weeks ago he was shod. This Pocket Stable will take the guessing out of that. The solution is right on your iPhone, and it's called Pocket Stable. It keeps all your horse's information in one easy-to-get-to place. And the cool thing is it's not just one horse. Like, you go, and it's called your stable. And then you get to add horses to your stable, and it's kind of fun. I've even saved the horse that I did sell. Because I wanted to make, you know, who knows, they may call me and want to know vaccine information. So it's to save the horse that I haven't had for 6 months. It's still in my phone in case they need vaccine or farrier or deworming information at all. So just in case they call. So Pocket Stable is awesome. You can find it in your app store. You can go to pocketstable.com and definitely download them. It's only $3.99, so it will save you a lot of time and trouble. So pocketstable.com.
And another use for it, what we started doing is with our new greyhound, Glory, we put her information in there because there's really no difference. You know, we still do the dentist and all that stuff, so vaccines and everything, and I wanted an easy way to remember it, so I just put the dog in there too. And I suppose everybody else could do the same thing. No reason not to. All right, today you had a special request for songs because you saw a lot of girls and horses over the weekend. Now, you were that girl with the horse, but there were a lot of other girls with horses, too. So let's hear a little Templeton Thompson, Girls and Horses, and then we'll be back with Black Beauty, and then we'll hear all about our weekend and the fun people we met. We have some interviews for you, too, from over the weekend.
Talks about him, dreams about him, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulder. I still feel like that girl someday. What is it? What is it with girls? Dream about him. I live to love him, and I love to ride. I'll always have him, be lost without him. There's magic in those and love. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Girls and
that is Templeton Thompson, Girls and Horses. Oh, my gosh, I just love that song so much. It's just perfect. It's just Girls and Horses. We love them. And thank you so much for listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. You're sponsored today by Omega Alpha. I'm Jamie Jennings with Glenn the Geek and producer extraordinaire Coach Jen. And I think it's that time. Glenn? Glenn? There we go.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
As soon as my knees were sufficiently healed, I was turned into a small meadow for a month or two. No other creature was there, and though I enjoyed the liberty and the sweet grass, yet I had long been used to society, and I felt very lonely. Ginger and I had become fast friends, and now I missed her company extremely. I often neighed when I heard a horse's feet passing in the road, but I seldom got an answer, until one morning the gate opened, and who should come in but dear old Ginger. The man slipped off her halter and left her there. With a joyful whinny, I trotted up to her. We were both glad to meet, but I soon found that it was not for our pleasure that she was brought to be with me. Her story would be too long to tell, but the end of it was that she had been ruined by hard riding and was now turned off to see what rest would do. Lord George was young and would take no warning. He was a hard rider and would hunt whenever he could get the chance, quite careless of his horse. Soon after I left the stable, there was a steeplechase, and he was determined to ride. Though the groom told him she was a little strained and not fit for the race, he did not believe it, and on the day of the race urged Ginger to keep up with the foremost riders. With her high spirit, she strained herself to the utmost. She came in with the first three horses, but her wind was touched, besides which he was too heavy for her, and her back was strained. And so she said, "Here we are, ruined in the prime of our youth and strength, you by a drunkard and I by a fool. It is very hard." We felt in ourselves that we were not what we had been. However, that did not spoil the pleasure we had in each other's company. We did not gallop about as we once did, but we used to feed, lie down together, and stand for hours under one of the shady lime trees with our heads close to each other. So we passed our time until the family returned from town. One day we saw the Earl come into the meadow, and York was with him. Seeing who it was, we stood still under our lime tree and let them come up to us. They examined us carefully. The Earl seemed much annoyed. 300 pounds flung away for no earthly use, he said. But what I care most for is that these horses of my old friend, who thought they would find a good home with me, are ruined. The mare shall have a 12-month run, and we shall see what that will do for her. But the black one, he must be sold, and 'tis a great pity, but I could not have knees like those in my stables. No, my lord, of course not, said York, but he might get a place where appearances are not much of a consequence and shall be well treated. I know a man in Bath, the master of some livery stables, who often wants a good horse at a low figure, and I know he looks well after his horses. The inquest cleared the horse's character, and your lordship's recommendation or mine would be sufficient to warrant for him. You'd better write to him, York. I should be more particular about the place than the money he would fetch. After this, they left us. They'll soon take you away, said Ginger, and I shall lose the only friend I have, and most likely we shall never see each other again. 'Tis a hard world. About a week after this, Robert came into the field with a halter, which he slipped over my head and led me away. There was no leave-taking of Ginger. We neighed to each other as I was led off, and she trotted anxiously along by the hedge, calling to me as long as she could hear the sound of my feet. Through the recommendation of York, I was bought by the master of the livery stables. I had to go by train, which was new to me and required a good deal of courage for the first time. But as I found the puffing, rushing, whistling, and more than all, the trembling of the horse box in which I stood did me no real harm, I soon took it quietly. When I reached the end of my journey, I found myself in a tolerably comfortable stable and well attended to. These stables were not so airy and pleasant as those I had been used to. The stalls were laid on a slope instead of being level, and my head was kept tied to the manger. I was obliged to always stand on the slope, which was very fatiguing. Men do not seem to know yet that horses can do more work if they can stand comfortably and turn about. However, I was well fed and well cleaned, and on the whole, I think our master took as much care of us as he could. He kept a good many horses and carriages of different kinds for hire. Sometimes his own men drove them, or at others, the horse and chaise were let to gentlemen or ladies who drove themselves. Tomorrow, Chapter 28, A Job Horse and His Drivers. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was kind of a boring chapter. Not much happened.
Are you kidding? He and Ginger had to part ways. They're both ruined by a drunkard and hard riding, and then they were together and they got to rest, but they're not who they once were because they were young horses full of energy and prospect, and then they've been ruined and they're in a field together, and then they had to be separated, and then he had to go to a new home. We're going to find all about that tomorrow. And I want you to pay attention tomorrow, Glenn, because I want to find out if he's going to describe the driving styles of the people who rent him as a driving horse. I want to see where you fit in. I'm going to see where you come in. Which guy are
you? I think Black Beauty is a girl thing, because I just don't think us guys get it.
The only chapter you liked was the one where there was, like, a guy. What was the one chapter that you liked? I forget. It was, like, death and destruction.
That was the fun part. But otherwise, I just don't think we get all the squishy stuff.
The Lady Anne, the chase. That's when she was galloping through the field on a runaway horse.
That was like a car chase with horses.
Oh, good.
All right, let's talk a little bit about our weekend. I have a couple of clips here for us today, too. Well, we had a good time Friday after the show. You headed off to your horse show, and we headed over to Briarfest. And let me tell you what. We get there, and the parking lot is full. And I'm going to post on Facebook. Let me do that right now.
We got to back up and tell everybody what Briarfest is. For those
Briar
who don't
Fest
know.
Briarfest is an excuse for all the people who collect Briar horses, little plastic models. For those people who collect Briar horses to get together and trade them and buy new ones and basically just all get together, this is its own little eco world. It's like a little addiction that these people have to these Briar horses. And Briar has taken and made Briarfest, which is the annual get together at the Kentucky Horse Park. Over 6,000 people showed up, and I believe it because in the old indoor arena, Jamie, there were times we could not walk in there because it was so packed with people, and it was more than at the World Equestrian Games.
Oh, my gosh.
It was
incredible.
I just posted pictures, and you can go look at the album, and you're going to see pictures on there of people lined up. Let me start when you check in. So they were very nice, by the way. Thank you to the people at Briar over there for giving us tickets to get in because it ain't cheap. It's like $80 for 3 days to get into this thing.
Oh, my.
I know. I'm not kidding.
Hell.
So we get it. We get there, and they got us in and everything. And they were explaining the ticket system. They give you these vouchers for a drawing that you go. It's a lottery. You go get in line underneath this big tent, and it's a lottery, and it has your tickets have numbers on them. And then they start calling out the numbers, and you get in line by number. So there might be 200, 300, 400 people in line by number. And then they trot you all over to the place where you can buy the special edition Briars that are only available at Briarfest. They do this five or six times a day. And there are these hundreds of people lined up to go buy their special Briars. And the line just went on all day with about 10 checkout stations and piles and piles and piles of these Briars.
And piles of money.
I'm telling you, this whole Briar Fest is an excuse to print money. Briar has it down pat. And there were people lined up like that for 3 days to buy these Briars. And it was a big deal to be able to get in line to buy them. And you must have waited an hour and a half, 2 hours to go up and buy. I think there's like 3 or 4 different ones that they put out just for Briar Fest. But they become very collectible because they're limited to run. And then, of course, they have all the other stands. You see the pictures of the people waiting in line?
Just the people walking around the indoor arena, which is where they do a lot of the trade fair type stuff. And my experience with this is Rolex. And you can walk around the trade fair. This one, you would have to be like, excuse me, pardon me, excuse me, excuse me,
that's
pardon
right.
me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. The, women everywhere with big yellow horse boxes of Briars. I'm so jealous.
So they had, when we were walking into the parking lot before we even got to the gate, one of the things that Jennifer talked about too was how everybody decorates their cars, and they write all over the windows Briar Fest or Bust. Well, I took a picture of that to show you that in fact does happen. We saw cars all over the place this weekend with Briar Fest or Bust on them, and they would write their favorite Briars on there, pictures of little horses. So I put a picture of that up just to show you. The whole parking lot was full. There were cars from all 50 states at Briarfest. People drive in from everywhere for Briarfest. It's just incredible. So we get in there. We gave away our tickets, by the way, because we really didn't want to wait in line 2 hours to buy a Briar for $50. So we let other kids have our tickets. And some of these kids that come to this thing, and adults, save up all year to come here and to buy. And we were carrying bags of Briars, which aren't small in a bag. You know, they're in those boxes. And they know the system. You got to buy it this way. And they'll buy 2 or 3 of the same one because she said, well, we have to play with one. And then you keep the other one in the box and you never open it because it's worth more that way. And then the other one, I forget, Jennifer might be able to tell us what the third one was for, but they all will buy 2 or 3 of them.
One was to modify.
That's right.
She was going to customize
it
because
there
were little places that she thought the paint wasn't just perfect.
Yeah. just It's incredible. Oh, now, I got an interview I want to play for you. It's only about a minute long with a little girl that we actually ate lunch with. By the way, the other thing we learned about Briar kids is that they will come up to you and start talking to you about your Briars. And then we learned from these kids that what goes on at the hotels. Apparently at the hotels, people put Briar displays in their windows at the hotel, and they leave their doors open, and people will trade all night long their Briars and Briar parts and things at the hotels. It becomes
Are
a
you
huge
kidding
sculpt-
me?
No, it's this huge subculture, and apparently it's important which hotel you get at where the best trading happens.
Oh, my God. This is insane. These are model horses, and they just make it. You know, I got to tell you, my friend Chris Elliott growing up lived for Briarfest, lived for it. I mean, that was her vacation every year, was to go up to Lexington, Kentucky for Briarfest. And I can't blame her because I go up every year for Rolex or whatever. You know, you need an annual pilgrimage to Lexington, and I'm not going to knock that down. However, to go for a plastic and she would do the horse shows with them, which
yep,
is like
that's right.
A literal hold the plastic model and go and trot in circles with the model like you did when you were kids. Did you see any of that?
We didn't get to there, but they did have them. And, of course, people will paint. You can buy blanks of the horses and put paint jobs on them and things like that and make them super fancy, and those will sell for a lot of money depending on the artist. Or the customized Briars will sell for a lot of money. Actually, Jennifer, when we had our tax shop, used to paint and sell them. Jennifer, what some people don't know about Coach Jen is she's a very good artist and quite a good painter, and she did a great job with hers. But let's listen to this little, I think it was 11 or 12-year-old Bailey that we ate lunch with. She just came over, plunked herself down, and started talking to us, and I said, "You're going to do an interview for a radio show."
Okay, Glenn here, and I am with Bailey, and we are at Briarfest, and Bailey came all the way from Sarasota, Florida yesterday to be here. Is this your first time at Briarfest?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and how old are you?
11.
And how long? You're 11?
Yep.
Oh, wow. And how long have you been collecting Briars?
Maybe a few years.
A few years?
Two, yeah.
So has this been a dream to come up here to Briarfest?
Yes.
Why?
Because I've always wanted to see all the models, and I just really love them.
And we will say Bailey has a couple in bags here already, and it's the first day. Are you staying the rest of the weekend, too, or just today?
Yes, I'm staying for the 3-day.
Are you? For
yep.
All of it, huh?
Yep.
All right, cool. So what are your goals this weekend?
Get Pecos and Miller Special Runs and some Artist Sessions.
And do you have a horse yourself?
No, I wish I did, though.
You do? You want to be a rider someday?
Yeah.
Well, Mom's sitting across from here, and I'm going to give Mom a piece of advice. Let her get a horse, because they don't find boys until they're about 18 if they have a horse. So that's a good thing. Well, Bailey, you have a great time here, okay?
Okay.
Have fun. Say hi to all your friends back in Florida.
Hi!
I don't think Mom was believing me, by the way. She wasn't buying that. I think she was thinking, I just spent $1,000 to bring her to buy some fake horses. I'm not going to get her a real horse. So.
Yeah. I wonder what the percentage of people that go to Briarfest that do/don't have a horse and what the numbers
you know,
are.
Jennifer,
you know,
Jennifer, they told us that number. Do you remember what the number was, Jennifer? They told us that on a previous interview. Was it 50% actually have a horse?
It was higher than we thought it would be. We were
yeah.
a little bit surprised. Yeah.
It really
I would
was.
I think it'd be pretty high.
Well, you know, then we got to go around. One of the things that they really, and you'll see in the pictures I posted on our Facebook page, is the demonstrations. The indoor arena is used for demonstrations the whole weekend. So they'll have some big names that actually come up there and do demonstrations. Guy McLean, our friend from Australia, was there. We got to see Guy do his thing. My driving coach, Sterling, you'll see pictures of him and the Hackneys that I drove the one day. He was there doing a competition driving demonstration, going in and out of the obstacles at full tilt. That was fun to watch. I got some pictures of that I posted up there. The other thing was the All-American Cowgirl Chicks and Trish Lynn. We got to spend some time with them. How Jennifer will even agree with this, not just because they were good-looking girls, but what sweeties. I mean, they travel all the time. They're never not on the road, yet they don't seem to be sour from it at all. They have a great time doing what they're doing, and we got to see them do their trick riding, Jamie. Oh, my God. they're going at about a they're going at jet pace around the track, you know. They are going at full tilt around that track, hanging underneath those horses. And her daughter, who you're going to see in the video, if you go check out the video I posted on our Facebook page, her daughter is like 12 years old, this little bitty thing. And she's doing everything that the grown-up's doing, everything.
She steals the interview. She is just priceless, just cute as can be. And listening to the interview, hearing her response to what you said, what you asked her, was just awesome. Just awesome.
Well, yeah, she is great. And guess what she rides? A rescued Mustang. Trick riding.
Yay!
A rescued Mustang. Yes, she trick rides a rescued Mustang. This little 12-year-old, and she's teeny, but she was doing some wild stuff, and they're fast at what they do. I was actually surprised at the speed that they go around the track. It was pretty incredible. But I also got to catch up with Trish Lynn, who everybody knows that listens as a regular listener to the show. She is a musician and also formed, she's the head of the All-American Cowgirl Chicks, and I got to do a little interview with her, so let's take a listen to that.
I'm here with Trish Lynn, finally get to meet in person after all this time.
I know, it's fun.
So tell us now, you told me that you're actually working on some new music, too, in addition to all those craziness that you do on the road.
We are. We're actually, most of our performances are in rodeo, so we like to really thrill the audiences with a lot of energy. And it's really made me determined to write some new music for rodeo, cowboy, cowgirl contestants. Something that I'm really proud of, and I had an opportunity to go to Nashville here in a couple of weeks with a writer, and we're going to complete 6 new songs and, start throwing them out there and putting them back on the road. And y'all have been very generous to play some of my rodeo music, and rodeo is such a great sport, and it's been good to us, and it's given us a great life to do what we love to do. So, anyway, I hope you enjoy.
Well, how many gigs this year?
Every weekend. We are on the road really every weekend. We don't have any off time. And when we do, we cherish that moment with our families, but we are family on the road. So it is hard. It's tough. It's Texas is...
How many of your kids are traveling with you right now?
I've got... Three?
Yes. Okay.
So, and I mean, I get to be with my family, so that's a great thing. But it is tough to be on the road. It takes, not an average person by any means. You have to be dedicated.
No, you got
to
like living out of a stinky trailer.
You got to like living out of a sack. That's exactly right. We have a lot of tires blow and that type of thing, but being here at the Briarfest is a great opportunity for us. We're meeting a lot of great people, and I can't believe we have a lot of fans here. So it's truly been a great thing for us.
So since I talked to you last, which has been a little while now, and we just replayed the episode we did with you, actually, on the last holiday. We replayed it on 4th of July.
Cool.
We thought that would have been a perfect one to play on 4th of July. So tell me, what's one of the funny things that's happened to you since we talked to you last? One of those bizarre moments in a show.
Oh, God. It happens every weekend. you never know. With our job, you never know what we're going to get.
Yeah, you're trick riding.
We have bits and bridles, and all of our equipment gets hauled and taken in and out of trailers. So we have a toolkit that we take with us, just in case something breaks. But the horses that we just had this morning, an incident happened where a horse just shut down. This dirt here is a lot thinner than what we're usually on, and our horse only knows one.
The rodeos have thicker dirt?
Well, and that could be dangerous, too.
Yeah, isn't that a problem, too? Yeah.
So our horses obviously have to be in great shape, but we also have to have great operators on those animals. It just shut down and kind of jammed up and wadded up the line. It could have been a wreck, but it didn't happen, so we were lucky.
You've had wrecks before?
Oh, yeah. We've had major wrecks.
And it's like NASCAR.
You hate to talk about those things.
I know, but they happen.
It happens. You're dealing with live animals.
Hey, that audience is still talking about it.
It is. And we didn't have one here, but we almost. I mean, it's like, you could hear everybody going, So, but that's the great thing about rodeo. I mean, it's a thrill. Everybody never knows what they're going to get when they see, someone ride a bull. You don't know if they're going to get ejected, get stomped on. But I have the utmost respect for the athletes out there. And that's what we're trying to portray here, is not only the leadership in the sport of rodeo, but the athleticism in the horses and the girls. Once you start and you go out there, you got to finish it. You don't quit. And so regardless of the wreck, if it happened, you have to deal with it and move on.
And I know you're a stickler, too, for making sure everybody's in shape. And, I know you're a stickler about that.
Well, you got to be.
Yeah.
We deal in a lot of different temperature climates. And so we try to be in good shape. That's number one. Preparation is everything. So.
Well, This has been great meeting you again.
It is.
And we'll talk to you again when your songs come out.
That would be great.
We'll have to do another show. We'll have to play them.
That would be great.
And I always play your music when I'm feeling like I need some energy that morning. When it's the morning show and I'm going, okay, I need to wake up this morning.
You're
going
to get a lot of energy with this next set.
All right,
you'll
good.
You'll love it, yeah.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye, Trish.
Bye.
And that was Trish Lynn, and as you know, we play her rodeo music here occasionally on the show. Aubrey Miller, Jamie, just posted, used to go to Briarfest every year a few years back. Did you guys hit the auction? We did not, Aubrey. Year before last, one model sold for $13,500. This year's high sale was $5,000, and all of the 27 auction models went for over $1,000 apiece.
Good Lord. That's ridiculous.
It's incredible. So it was fun. We did have a good time over there. We only spent half of a day, and I think that was enough for me. But these people that are truly addicted do spend all 3 days there, and it was fun, and we did have a good time. So thank you for inviting us over for that. Then I got to tell you, we went to something called the Keeneland Concours d'Elegance, which is a car show on the Saturday. We went over there. It's a big car show, actually. It was a lot of fun. We had a great time. They have all different kinds of cars and military vehicles and everything all set up on the beautiful grounds over there at Keeneland, which Jamie knows a lot about. She used to ride some horses over there. And it was so much fun. But, Jamie, we had a horse thing that we got to do while we were there. We got to meet a gentleman by the name of David Helmuth, who is the guy who's in charge of all of the stagecoaches for Wells Fargo. You've seen them in parades. They do events all over the country where they have the big red Wells Fargo stagecoach, and they're pulled by like a six-in-hand of quarter horses they pull their stagecoaches
mm-hmm.
with. So we got mm-hmm. to meet him, and he took Jennifer and I on a tour of the trailer, showed us how all of the everything works on the trailer. It's so cool how it's all set up for the carriage and the horses, and we got to talk to him for quite a bit, so we're hoping to have him on a show here in the near future. Neat guy. He's the last guy to actually drive a carriage across the United States. So he has done that 3,000-mile drive as well, and now he works for Wells Fargo.
162 years old? I mean, geez.
No, he's not quite that old. But nice guy, and we're looking forward to having another chat with him. And it was cool to see how their trailer, you know, he has one of those big, huge tractor trailers, 52-footers. That's all decked out for exactly what they need. And apparently Wells Fargo, from what we were told, is going to be – they were sold recently to, I think, Wachovia or one of those, and they're actually putting more money into the horse program, and they're going to be doing a lot more of it here in the future. So you will not see the stagecoach and the horses go away at Wells Fargo, apparently. You know, Budweiser, that program is all up in the air since it was sold out to that foreign company. We don't know what's going to happen with the Budweiser horses there, but Wells Fargo's here to stay, and it was fun. I got to see, and I'll post some pictures here in a few minutes. I got to sit in the Wells Fargo stagecoach and get my picture taken. And I actually got my picture taken by some professional photographers, too, because I was the only one in a cowboy hat there, and they wanted pictures of somebody in a cowboy hat in the stagecoach. So
nice. You were a model.
I was a model. And we're also going to post some pictures of the cars we liked. Jennifer and I each had our favorite cars, and I bet you'll be able to tell just by looking at them whose was whose.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. So that was a good time. We had a great time over the weekend, and we're looking forward to next weekend, too, because this Saturday is the picnic. It's the Greyhound Festival that we're going to. The adoption agency, Shamrock Greyhounds, is having their annual festival. So Glory gets to go away this weekend to a festival.
Well, good. Well, that's going to be fun for you guys. It's awesome that you had, you know, a very bluegrass weekend, a very Kentucky-filled weekend doing stuff. I must tell you, Glenn, that I know that you love these stories where animals are rescued, the horses are rescued in bizarre ways.
Rescue stories. Yes.
Yeah, I know you do. And I found one that will do our Kentucky people proud. Okay, this is for you. Because
I don't know that we've had a Kentucky
horse.
Rescue story before.
I don't think we have. I don't think we have. And in honor of the location of this rescue, Bardstown, Kentucky, I'm going to read this blurb to you in my best Kentucky accent. Okay,
okay.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Firefighters rescue horse from an empty pool. Firefighters in Nelson County faced a new situation on Friday, a horse trapped in an empty swimming pool. Northeast Nelson Fire District Chief Todd Baker told WKYT-TV that Miss Classy Coosa seems to have gotten loose and stumbled into the pool. Rescue crews tried to lead the 13-year-old quarter horse out of the pool with a makeshift ramp, but she wouldn't oblige. In the end, a local veterinarian sedated the horse. In a Bardstown, Kentucky news story is where you would hear something like that. They tried to lead the 13-year-old quarter horse out of the pool with makeshift ramp, but she wouldn't oblige. In the end, a local veterinarian sedated the horse before rescue crews strapped her to a neighbor's front end loader and lifted her out. Baker said Miss Classy Coosa was walking around within minutes. That is Kentucky for you, my friends.
Can you say pool again? Can you just say that again?
Pool. It's a pool.
Perfect.
There's two O's in it. It's got to be two syllables. It's a pool. That was for you,
Liam. That was very well read, by the way. That made the story.
Thank you very much.
I'm not kidding. Oblige is a word that you would have heard in the newspaper in 1800.
The horse was in a pool, and she wouldn't oblige to get out of the pool. So they had to drag her out with a front-end loader. I'm like, really? That sounds like me trying to load my horse. Trailer.
So there was some fun news for the United States over the weekend, wasn't there?
There certainly was. And you know, I just had to focus in because we're almost out of time. The show's pretty much over. We're going to have to do more news stories tomorrow. Save these for tomorrow. But
okay.
I've also got a dog story for you. And I've got a horse story for you tomorrow as well. Both that happened over the weekend. Just so you know that I was also panicked about my dog. That story will come tomorrow because poor Zenyatta went through the ringer this weekend. And had to be rushed to the veterinarian.
About
half an hour before my cross country ride. So just to add to my excitement.
We had
a dog issue too, and we'll tell you about that tomorrow, along with the rest of these news stories. But I don't think we can talk the Bardstown, Kentucky story. Can you?
There's a survey research story that I want to talk about tomorrow too. That I think is a pile of crap. So we'll talk about that tomorrow too.
Awesome. Well,
you want to hear all of our shows on the Horse Radio Network? Tune in to horseradionetwork.com. That's where you'll find them all. And in addition to that, you can follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio and, of course, on our Facebook page where we posted all those links this morning. Just search for Horses in the Morning and like us there.
Absolutely. And thanks, you guys, for listening to us ramble on about our exciting weekends. They were exciting to us, at least. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. If you missed the live show, you can listen to recorded versions on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern. Thanks, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Have a great ride, everybody. Wear your helmets, and if you have them, put those Plate 2 air vests on. One other question, Jamie. Did it go off when you hopped off the horse at the end of cross country?
I had 9 people lined up at the finish line that were supposed to go, unhook, unhook, and they did, and I didn't blow it up when I got off my horse. And it took an army.